Our text today speaks into that kind of moment that no one enjoys living through. That moment when the room feels heavy, the future seems uncertain, and people are trying to act braver than they feel. Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet. Judas has gone into the night. Peter has been told that he will deny Jesus before morning. The disciples have heard Jesus speak of going away, and they don't know what to do with that. They've watched him heal, feed, confront hypocrisy, and welcome people no one else wanted near the table. And now he's talking like everything's about to change. When he speaks to them, Jesus doesn't tell them to calm down because their fear is silly. He doesn't treat anxiety as weakness. He doesn't shame them for trembling on the edge of loss. He steadies them. He calls them to trust. He promises that his leaving is not abandonment. He tells them there is room in the Father's house, and he anchors their hope not in a clear explanation of everything that will happen, but in himself. Thomas asks the question everyone else may have been afraid to ask. Philip asks for more than he understands. Jesus receives both questions with truth and patience and grace. This passage is not sentimental comfort. It is cross-shaped comfort. Jesus speaks these promises on the way to betrayal, arrest, crucifixion, and death. He knows exactly what is coming, and still he tells his disciples that fear does not get to rule. The way to the Father will pass through the cross. The truth of God will be revealed in the Son, and the light that he gives will break through death. John teaches us that troubled hearts are not abandoned hearts. They are hearts Jesus still speaks to, still holds, and still sins. Listen as I read, or read along with me, in John 14. 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are rooms where everybody can feel the tension, even if nobody says much out loud. We know those rooms. Hospital rooms, funeral homes before the family arrives, kitchens after bad news, church meetings when something hard has to be named. The air gets thick. Nobody wants to be the first one to admit they're scared, but everyone knows it. And that's the kind of room John gives us in this passage. This is not a calm teaching moment beside the lake. It's a small room with frightened disciples and a Savior who knows the cross is close. Judas has gone. Peter has been warned. Jesus has spoken of leaving. The disciples can feel the ground shifting, and they don't know what life will look like if Jesus is no longer right there. And that may be where this passage starts to find us. We know something about troubled hearts. We may not always be able to say it at church because we think we're supposed to look steady and put together. But there are Sundays where folks walk through the doors carrying worries they can barely name. A diagnosis. A child who is struggling. Bills that don't stretch. A marriage that feels thin. Grief that keeps showing up in odd places. Anxiety that hums under the surface even when everything looks fine. Jesus does not look at those disciples and say, "Y'all should know better by now." He doesn't shame them for being afraid. He does not give them a lecture about emotional weakness. He speaks to their hearts, and that matters. Sometimes we imagine faith means we never tremble. But Jesus seems to understand that love trembles when loss is near. Trust can be real and still have tears in its eyes. He begins by calling them to trust, not because everything is easy, but because He is faithful. He points them to the Father's house. There is room. There is a place. There is a future that they cannot see yet. He is going ahead of them, not away from them. That promise doesn't answer every question they have, but it gives them something stronger than explanation. It gives them His word. Y'all, we tend to want the whole map. We want God to show up in the next five turns. The reason we want to know the reason for any delay. We want to know the exact time He will arrive. Jesus doesn't hand the disciples a map. He gives them a promise. He says, in effect, "You can trust me with the road because you belong to me, and I am not losing you." That is the difference between being lost and being led. Thomas, God love him, says what the rest of them must be thinking. They don't know where Jesus is going, so how can they know the way? I love Thomas for that. He's not trying to sound spiritual. He is being honest. There's a kind of faith that asks real questions. Because it wants to stay close, not because it wants to walk away. Jesus doesn't rebuke Thomas for asking. He answers by giving him himself. That answer is familiar to us. Maybe so familiar that we forget how personal it is. Jesus says He is the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't say, "I can give you a good religious system." He doesn't say, "I will point you toward helpful principles." He says He Himself is the way to the Father. The way is not a ladder we climb by being impressive. The truth is not a puzzle only clever people. The way, the truth, and the light on our ability to understand everything. Some days that may be the very best news we have. Because if salvation is dependent on me keeping my mind calm, my emotions tidy, my obedience flawless, and my theology perfect, I'd be in trouble. And so would you. But Jesus does not say, get yourself steady and then comes to me. And then come to me. He steadies us by drawing us to himself. Then Philip speaks. He wants to see the Father. Again, understandable. Just show us God clearly. Clearly, Jesus, let us see enough to settle this. Haven't we all prayed some version of that? Lord, just make it plain. Show me what you are doing. Give me something I can hold on to. And Jesus answers Philip by pointing back to the life they have already shared with him. If they have seen Jesus, they have seen the Father. Now, this is one of the greatest gifts of this passage and frankly of the whole Bible. When our hearts are troubled, our picture of God can get distorted. Fear can make God seem far away, cold, disappointed, or silent. Pain can make us wonder whether God cares. Jesus says, look at me, look at the one who touched lepers, welcomed sinners, wept at a tomb, fed hungry people, washed dirty feet, and moved toward the cross for the sake of the world. If you want to know the Father's heart, look at Jesus. But Jesus doesn't stop with comfort. He gives them purpose. He tells them that those who believe in him will continue his works. That must have sounded impossible in that room. These are not heroic disciples at the moment. They are confused, scared, and on the edge of scattering. Yet Jesus sees beyond their fear. He sees Pentecost. He sees witness. He sees the gospel moving past Jerusalem. He sees ordinary people filled with the Spirit carrying his grace into places they never imagined going. That is how Jesus steadies troubled hearts. He doesn't only say, you'll be okay. He says, you have a place in my work. Anxiety can make us shrink until all we can see is our own fear. And Jesus gently lifts up our eyes. There is still love to give. There is still mercy to offer. There is still truth to speak. There are still people who need to know that the Father's house has room and that grace is real. And that Christ has not abandoned them. Then Jesus teaches them to pray in his name. This is not a magic ending tacked onto our wish list. To pray in his name is to pray joined to his character, his mercy, his mission, and his will. It is to come to the Father through the Son, trusting that we are not strangers banging on a locked door. We come as people Christ has brought near. So what do we do with our troubled hearts? We don't hide them away. We bring them to Jesus. We don't wait till we clean them up. We don't wait until we can sound braver. We don't wait for the right religious words. We bring them as they are. We let his promise remind us that there is room. We let his presence remind us that to see him is to see the Father. We let his purpose remind us that fear does not cancel our calling. Some of us may be standing in a season where the road ahead is not clear. Maybe something is ended. and the next thing is not fully begun. Maybe you were worried about your family, your health, your church, or your future. Maybe your heart is more troubled than anybody knows. Hear the grace in this passage. Jesus is not ashamed of you. He is not impatient with you. He is not pacing the floor waiting for you to become fearless. The disciples didn't understand everything that night. They did not know how resurrection would change the meaning of the cross. They didn't know how the Spirit would come. They didn't know how far the gospel would travel. All they had in that moment was Jesus and His Word. And that was enough, even before they knew it was enough. That may be where faith begins again for us too. Not with all the answers, not with fearless hearts, not with a perfect view of the road, just with Jesus speaking peace into the room, holding troubled hearts steady and saying, "Trust me. I am not leaving you lost. I am the way home." Bow your heads with me, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting us in the places where our hearts feel troubled. Thank you for reminding us that fear does not get the last word. You are the way when we feel lost. You are the truth when the world feels confusing. And you are the life when we feel weary and worn down. Help us leave this place trusting you more deeply. Give us courage for the road ahead, patience for the questions we carry, and faith to follow even when we can't see the whole path. Let your promise steady us, your promise comfort us, and your promise send us back into the world with love. In Jesus' name, amen.